great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I hope you memorized it this week, added it to your arsenal. But after making that beautiful promise here in Jeremiah 33, God then speaks to his children who, remember, by chapter 33, they're in captivity. They're wondering what's next for them as a nation. And God is promising them that he's not finished with them, that he has plans for them in the future, and that those plans include getting their land and having their kingdom and so forth. And that's what's kept them going now for 2,500 years, is this great promise of their future, which has yet to come. So we'll start there in verse 6 of Jeremiah 33, where he says, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall bear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord." Again, "There shall be heard in this place, which ye shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant, without beast, the voice of joy, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts," again in this place, "which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof, shall an habitation of shepherds causing after their flocks to lie down. The cities of the mountains and the cities of the vale, cities of the south, the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of the Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I promise unto the house of Israel, unto the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." So the branch of righteousness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and pray you'll use it in our lives tonight to teach and grow us. Lord, meet with us now. May you be glorified in this time. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus, through his prophets, through Jeremiah, is promising Israel that, and he keeps reminding them that, yes, right now Jerusalem is desolate, that there's nobody in the streets. The temple's been torn down. They've been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And when they look at all that destruction, they're obviously despondent, they're down. And God says, you need to look at it like I look at it, that I'm not done, and that one day it will be restored to an even greater glory than what you've ever seen. And it will be Jerusalem itself. And he says, I know what you see with your eyes, it looks impossible, but it will happen. And you know, this is true for you and I as well. We talked about these prayer promises last week that we saw here in chapter 33, verse 3, that a lot of times we see situations around us, we see things that seem impossible, and those are the times when we need to sink our teeth into God's promises and say, I know God has plans. I know that I'm going to go to heaven, but even before that, if the Lord tarries, I know God has plans for me, and God will answer my prayers, and God will bless me. And Israel was being reminded that these things were going to happen, but he didn't give them a timetable, did he? Because next up was to come this thing called the church age, which has now been 2,000 years of them waiting. So let's just quickly summarize all the beautiful things that God promised to his children here. And these are all things in the future for Israel. So he starts there in verse 6, peace and truth. Now we know that one of Christ's names there in Isaiah 9:6 is the Prince of Peace. And when the Prince of Peace comes, Israel will again have peace during their kingdom. It goes on to say there in verse 8, and I will cleanse them. In other words, I will, as a nation, I will cleanse them. Of course, as an individual, we've been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you go to Hebrews 8, God repeats this beautiful promise, which is part of the new covenant that we looked at back in chapter 31. That one day Israel, this is after the return of Jesus Christ, one day Israel will get a new heart as a nation, and they will turn to God and serve Him. Notice Hebrews 8:12. The Bible says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This is part of the unconditional covenant, the new covenant that we saw there in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, where God promises them a new heart. So it goes on to say here in Jeremiah 33, verse 9, that they will be a name of joy and of praise and of honor. And he finishes there by saying, and for all the prosperity. So God is going to bless them materially as well, because this is going to be the most amazing kingdom in the history of mankind, because Jesus Christ is going to be running this kingdom. And he talks about prosperity. Now, let's go to Amos, if you would, chapter 9 and verse 13. Amos chapter 9, verse 13, where God says, during the kingdom age, the prosperity will be so amazing, and he uses farming as a way to tell us this. Notice he says, Amos 9:13, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. That things are going to be producing fruit so fast that they can't even keep up. Think about that. The treader of grapes, him that soweth the seed. So as they're planting, they're reaping. It's going to be an amazing time. It says, the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. So this is going to be a time of prosperity for Israel, this time when the branch of righteousness will come. And we're told back in our passage, chapter 33 and verse 11, he says, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. And of course, all through the scriptures, he's promised to return them to their land. But this will be, as it says here, Jerusalem will be the center of worship. Go to Zechariah 14 and we'll be reminded of this. But did you notice he also mentioned the sacrifice of praise? Now, if you go to Hebrews 13, you'll find that God says that you and I, whenever we offer up praise, it's also a sacrifice of praise. But notice Zechariah 14, verse 16. It says, and it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Everyone that is left. Now that's referring to the tribulation period, when over two-thirds of the earth die. He says, of everyone that's left, of those that survive, of those that go on into the kingdom, we're talking non-Jews here, he says, they will all go up to Jerusalem year by year to worship the Lord. That will be a requirement that every single person on earth go to Jerusalem once a year and worship Jesus Christ in the flesh. You and I will help facilitate that because we will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. So back in our passage, Jeremiah 33, verse 15, in those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Now we know who this is. This is Jesus Christ, the branch of righteousness. We see here that it says he shall grow up unto David. And of course, we're told all throughout the scriptures that the king of the future kingdom of Israel will be of the lineage of David. He will sit on the throne of David. We're told in Isaiah 11 that he's the stem out of Jesse. And we understand that this branch of righteousness is the Messiah, the King of the Jews, Jesus Christ. We're also told in Zechariah 3:8 that he will be the servant, the branch. And we're told in Zechariah 6:12 that he will be the man who is called the branch. We're told in Jeremiah 23 that he will be Jehovah, the branch. So just if you do a word study on the branch, which has to be Jesus, you find out that it ties in with the four Gospels, where Matthew is primarily presenting Christ as the one for the Jews, and then Mark for the Romans, Luke for the Greeks, and John for the world. And that ties into the branch of David, the servant the branch, the man the branch, and Jehovah the branch. But the key to it all, verse 16 of our passage, in those days shall Judah be saved. You know, we look at the world today, and it's so sad that so few Jews get saved. They're God's chosen people, but so few of them turn to Jesus Christ. But the Bible says there will come a day. Go to Romans 11, if you would, please, verse 26. That there will come a day when Judah will be saved. Praise God. Notice Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. Imagine what that will be like. This is after the judgments we read about in Matthew chapter 25, where the sheep and the goats are separated. He says, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So in the midst of their captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, Jerusalem's been destroyed. God says, I know when you look at Jerusalem, you see no people left. You see just wild animals roaming the streets. I want you to see what I see, which is the temple restored, the throne of David, Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and the whole world coming to Jerusalem once a year to worship Jesus at Jerusalem. And then he again intimates back in our passage, chapter 33, verse 16, that this kingdom will be a wonderful kingdom. Now, he already mentioned verse 6, peace and truth. He already mentioned joy and praise in verse 9, prosperity in verse 9. A gladness in verse 11. But notice here he mentions Jerusalem shall dwell safely. When you think of Jerusalem, do you think of safety? No. Definitely not. But there will come a day when it will be different during the kingdom. This is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah our righteousness, will be one of the names for Jerusalem. And if you go to Isaiah 65, verse 25, we'll be reminded that this beautiful kingdom will be a time of complete safety and blessings. Again, it will be returned back to, the earth will be returned back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. And we looked at many of these when we walked through Isaiah. Verse 24 of Isaiah 65, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. No war, no murder. Imagine a world like that. The world that man keeps striving for and just can't grasp, a world of peace. And that will be the world that we get to live in for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ. When the branch of righteousness comes to set up his amazing kingdom in Jerusalem. So praise God, in the midst of trials, God gives us his promises. In the midst of their most intense trial, their 70 years of captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, God gave them this beautiful promise. And there will be trials like that in our lives. Deep trials. Where it seems like there's no way out. That's when we need to get into the Word of God. And believe the promises of God. That the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God isn't finished with us. And if he is, he'll just take us to heaven. But if he isn't, there is an end to that trial, and God has great things planned for us, just like he did his children Israel. when the branch of righteousness, Jesus Christ, returns and sets up this amazing 1,000-year kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love